Praise the Lord. Amen. How many excited to be here this morning? Let me see on this side. How many on this side are excited to be here? All right. What about the middle section? How many on this side are excited to be here this morning? Sometimes you're just going to have to do that in ministry. You're just going to have to tell you, I'm excited. When the world is not just cooperating and you're facing some hard times, you just might just have to like, woo! Let it out in Jesus' name. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? Hey, listen, for me it's been an honor to be here with you all. Today I fly back out to Chicago. Rico and I have had an awesome time and with Dr. Greg and some of the faculties, and really just come to love you all and pray that I hear great news around this nation of what you're doing for the kingdom of God. I have a Facebook. You can Facebook me and let me know what you're doing. And follow us on the web. Our services are online on Wednesday nights. And if you don't have service here at the chapel, on Wednesday night, mynewlife.org. You can follow what's happening in the city of Chicago. But I've been really excited these last few days being with potential pastors and leaders and world changers. The opportunity to deposit into your life has been an honor. And I hope you have felt the same. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, today I want to bring a closure to our being an agent of change. We kicked off with Rahab. How many have their paper, first of all? Let's see if you're obedient. All right. Boy, keep your papers out. Let me just see. I do this in my church. Amen. Awesome. Keep this paper for the next 10 years of your life. Write down what God is telling you. It may not make sense right now, but just write it down. You'll never know when you're going through a valley of your life that you'll pull this out and say, oh, this is what Pastor Choco meant. This is what he was talking about, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the first person we talked about was who? Anybody remember? Rahab. An unlikely person that God would use in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. A prostitute. Wasn't a doctor. Wasn't a scientist. But it was a prostitute. A woman who sold her body, and her faith was on a red scarf. That was her faith. The redness. The red will protect me when the people of Israel will invade. It will be the blood of Jesus Christ around your life that will protect you. The second person we talked about as a Talmeen, anybody remember who he was? Peter, the impulsive, unpredictable, I'll cut your ear off if you talk to him like that. Peter. I'll jump in the water, man. I'm so crazy. I loved you. I love you, Jesus. I don't know him. I know him. When a 12-year-old girl comes, I don't know him. That God would use someone like that, of temperament and impulsive. And then last night we talked about the Apostle Paul, a man who was a Christian killer, a devoted Jew, and yet became one of the greatest missionaries in the Bible. What am I trying to tell you here in Springfield? What am I trying to tell you? That you don't need a doctorate next to your name. You don't even need a master's. You don't even need to know all the books in the Bible right now. You just need to be available. God is not interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability. Are you available to me with your mess? I can fix your mess. I got that. But would you be available to me? No matter, and I kind of shared my story with you. I was transparent with you that I come from a dysfunctional family for sure. My brothers were leaders of gangs and drug dealers and so forth. And my mother was divorced. My father left me at the age of 8. I share that with you. An unlikely person that even in my high school, they knew my last name and said, oh, you're this person's brother. Oh, you'll never make it because he dropped out. And yeah, and your other brother dropped out. And oh, yeah, and your sister dropped out. It's a good chance, Wilfredo, that's going to happen to you. But they already spoke that into my life, even when I was in high school. And I'm a firm believer, just because your daddy was a turkey doesn't mean that you're a turkey. Hello. I'm a firm believer, just because your mother is a turkey doesn't mean you're a turkey. God has called you to be an eagle and to have a vision. And so that's why you're here in CBC. Perhaps not with the support of your parents, perhaps not with the support of your family, but you decided to follow your heart and said, I'm going to do this regardless. I'm going to step out in faith and become a talmid. The word talmid in Hebrew means disciple. That's what that means. But not just any ordinary talmid in the year 2011 and 2012, but someone who's devoted and sold out for Jesus Christ. There are so many average Christians out there. You know that it says in America, we've got over 300 million people who live in America, and they said in America that out of the 300, 160 million are Christians. 160 million. That's what they're saying. I'm like, are you crazy? If we had 160 million Christians in this nation, we would not be in the predicament that we're in. Hello? No, we don't have 160 million Christians. We have 160 million people who carry a Bible. Just because you walk into McDonald's doesn't mean you're a Big Mac. You'll get that after lunch. Just because you walk into a church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Doesn't mean you're a talmid. Doesn't mean that. So what did you know Genesis and Revelation? But do you live out the word? Are you an agent of change? And God, I've been saying this for the last few days, I'm going to say it again before I leave to the airport. God is alive and well. Amen. Let me show you this video, if they got it up there, of what I showed last night. Some of you weren't here, but let me show you this, of what God is doing in Chicago. That worship is not based on physical condition, but a spiritual character. God wants worshipers who worship Him in spirit and truth.
I'm expecting something new from you right now, right now. I'm expecting something new from you. I'm expecting something new from you. Right now, right now. I'm expecting something new from you. So I'll wait, I'll wait. Something new from you right now, right now. We're expecting something new from you
today.
Hey,
before God,
delante de Dios,
my wife and I,
su esposa y él,
we have found land.
Hemos encontrado tierra.
This is your land.
Esta es tu tierra.
This is your land.
Esta es tu tierra.
This is your land.
Esta es tu tierra.
Home, the future home.
El hogar de la iglesia.
To God be the glory. Come on, give God a praise offering. To make a difference in the community that God's going to send you in. You know, this is very a historical moment in the history of our church. In 2011, we were under a tent for 90 days. under a tent with the weather of the city of Chicago. And the reason why we were under a tent, because the auditorium that we were leasing, we were in a high school now for 7 years, and we're still there. They were going to renovations in the auditorium. And so the public school system said, Reverend, we'll get you another school where you can take your church. And after prayerfully and thinking about some things, I said, no, we're going to go ahead and build the tent. And that's what you just saw there. And I took the people from the tent to the land that you just saw, the building that said New Life Covenant, the future home, that was like a mile and a half walk. The people of the church did not know where we were going. They thought, because the entire month of July I was talking about the tabernacle and how the people of Israel ran around Jericho. And so our people were clueless where we were going. I kept it a secret. And you got to at least understand how God is alive and well. That under the tent, 50 days, we were able to purchase this land for $2 million and take thousands of people, as you saw there, walk them a mile and a half to the land. And hopefully by next year, we'll knock down that building you saw. And hopefully in 2014, if the Lord should delay his return, we can build a facility there that houses over 3,000 people seating auditorium. Why am I telling you this? God is not dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. Someone get excited that he's not dead. He's alive and well. He's alive and well. And he wants to pour into your heart. I want you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. If you're taking notes, that's what I'm going to talk to you from. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. When you have it, say amen. Someone next to you didn't bring their Bibles. Share your bread with them. So we've looked at Rahab, how she displayed her faith. We looked at Peter as an agent of change, how he walked out in faith, how he walked out in the water. We looked at the life of Saul, how he gave everything and became the greatest missionary in the Bible. Today I want to talk to you about the last agent of change. And we know him as the carpenter. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His mission on planet Earth was not to live. His mission on planet Earth was to die, to carry a cross for you and I. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose what? Together. Those whose what? Hearts are fully committed to Him. Not half-hearted. Sold out tell means. Fully committed to Him. God is the kingdom. He's in the kingdom business. Look at me for a moment this morning. He's in the kingdom business. And the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. Even today. Even in China. Even in Pakistan. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. The Bible says in Matthew 11:12 that the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And forceful men lay hold of it. This is the greatest opportunity on the planet Earth to begin to purchase properties around this nation. I tell pastors everywhere I go, buy property that are in foreclosure and advance the kingdom of God. What do you want us to do with those buildings? I don't know. Just buy it. They're being sold for $20,000. You could put a ministry in there. You could put missionaries in there. When would be the next time this window of opportunity will close? The kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. This mission, look at me, this mission is not for the timid, for not coward people. Those of us who operate in fear instead of faith, you better go home. Did you hear me? Those of us who operate in fear instead of faith, we're better off going home. Our faith is useless. It's useless unless it makes a significant difference in the way we interact and shape our world. Your faith and my faith is useless unless it shapes the world we live in. What good is your faith and my faith and if that faith is not being tested? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You can say praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, when all things are going well. But what kind of person are you? What kind of disciple are you when all hell breaks loose in your life? Hello? I'm going to cut loose today because I'm leaving anyway. This is not for the coward. This is not for the weak. This is for disciples who operate in faith, not in fear. And you and I must recognize that it's not our ability. It's not our success, our past success. Not the people you know or the wealth of the people that you think you know. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, not by might, not by power, but what? My spirit, says the Lord. You want to win your community? You want to shape your world? It's by the Spirit of God. And Christ set the example for the ultimate agent of change. He walked by faith. Write this down. He walked by faith. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father. Obedience. That's a hard thing for people to swallow today. God, I want to do your will. And God says, I want you to go to Ghana. Not that kind of will, God. Is there anywhere around Hawaii? Jamaica. That's where I'm looking at, God. Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of obedience. Whatever you want, God. I surrender my sword. I surrender my gift. I surrender my talent. And I won't pick it up. I'm your servant. Are you following me this morning? Are you with me? He lived a life of perfect obedience. He was the presence of God dwelling among us. Through him, we all have access to God, the Father, our seal with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 5, 11, write this down. Your attitude should be the same that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in a human likeness. Pastor Choco, I want to be a Talmin. Then pay attention. Your attitude should be that of Christ. Your attitude should be that of Christ. You want to be a worship leader? Your attitude should be that of Christ. You want to be a children's pastor? Your attitude should be that of Christ. You want to be a senior pastor one day? Your attitude should be that of Christ. Taking the very nature of a servant. But made himself nothing, being made in human likeness, and being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus taught us how to step out of our comfort zone and have peace in the midst of a storm in life. The greatest Talmin, you cannot change your world inside your boat. Look at me. Pastors and leaders, you cannot change your world while you're inside of the boat. You ever wonder whatever happened to the other 11 in the boat? I do. Do you think that some of the disciples, when Peter said, I'm going to go away with you, Jesus, tell me to walk, that the other disciples were like, Peter, impulsive Peter, you're crazy, man. I wonder sometimes, the other 11, why didn't they want to do the same? Why wouldn't they want to risk after seeing so many miracles and seeing their rabbi walking on water? And that's just like people here and around America. They want to become world changers, but don't tell me to leave my boat. Don't tell me to get off my boat because I'm really comfortable right now in this yacht, Pastor Choco. No, no. If you want to be an agent of change, you're going to have to be willing to get out of your boat to become an agent. You can't do it from inside the boat. You're going to have to come out of your comfort zone. You may have to learn a language you've never known before, that God may send you to a place that's all Spanish. And by the way, you all better start learning Spanish. Mira, apréndelo. Whether you like it or not, there's 60 million Hispanics that live in this nation. 60 million. Whether you like it or not. I'm praying that the United States of America were turned towards God through the Hispanic people. Because we're so far from God. And maybe God is bringing an influx of Hispanics so that this nation, because we're fighting for the sanctity of marriage. We're fighting for better schools. We're fighting for family, the nucleus of families. And that's been distorted. So maybe God is telling you, learn Spanish, because you're going to need it. Better learn Russian, because I'm going to send you over there. Whatever it is, whatever language it is, you're going to have to be bilingual. Speak your language here, English, and speak the heavenly language as well. But whatever it is, you're going to have to be bilingual. Someone say amen. You're going to change your world. You can't do it from the comfort of your boat. Can't be your career, your job, a relationship. Can't wait for your parents' approval. Can't wait for you to be successful. If you're going to be an agent of change, you have to step out. Doesn't mean that you're not afraid. Every time I do something around this country and around the world, I'm also. But I don't allow the fear to stop me from launching out. What you saw in that video. I mean, the video doesn't make it justice of what happened that day. I wish I had time to tell you about what happened that day. And how the weather, people in Chicago were saying, it's going to rain Sunday morning, August 14th. And the clouds started moving in towards Humble Park. It doesn't do any justice, but the clouds started moving in. And as we started marching, you seen the cloud walking with us. God was there. The rain held out. It was so dark. But the rain held out. Because God was there. He's alive and well. Agents of change are confronted by fear, but are never controlled by it. Write this down. Agents of change are confronted by fear, but never controlled by it. They remain faithful and obedient no matter what. Luke chapter 22. We see Jesus pleading in anguish for the Lord to make his mission for him. Yet he surrenders the crucifixion because it's necessary to advance the kingdom. Philippians chapter 3. I like what Paul says. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Five circumcised on 8 days of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of a Hebrew. But whatever was to for my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to surprising greatness of knowing. What's important for me as Pastor Choco? Not that I sat down with President Obama. Not that I sat down with presidents and kings around the world. That's not important for me when I die. What's important for me is that when Christ looks at me, that he sees a dedicated Talmid. So what? You could sit down with the mayor or a governor, and that's, you need that in your community. But the greatest thing that you and I have is to become a disciple for Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm no renowned scholar. I'll be the first one to tell you that right now. Not even a theologian. I don't even like to debate. I think it's a waste of time. Just love God and love people. But I do have 11 years of experience of pastoring a church of 68 people. I'm not even fluent in Hebrew or Greek. But I do speak Spanglish. I've met many presidents and kings and governors in my time. However, I truly believe that when I stand before the Lord, I stand here with you now, this morning. While all that is good that I've accomplished, all that I consider that a loss if I've not been a good Talmid, a disciple of Jesus Christ. A a disciple, a man or a woman who's not afraid to become a world changer. If you become a disciple of Christ, you will have the authority and power to advance His kingdom. Are you listening to me today? If you decide this morning here at CBC to become a Talmid, you will have the power to advance the kingdom of God in a way that would change the face of this planet. The world is in trouble. We're in chaos. People are hurting and lost. Wars, injustice all around us. And God says, I am looking to and fro around the earth to see whose heart is committed fully to me. Because I will not pour my favor to someone who's half-hearted. I don't need someone who may not know Greek and Hebrew. I may not know somebody who's a theologian or a scholar. I just need somebody whose heart is fully committed to me. You know how many times I've gotten saved in my life? I can't even count. How many know what I'm talking about? Every Sunday I was at the altar. Oh, God, I need you. When I was a young boy, teenager, God, I need you. I don't even know if I sinned. But if I sin, forgive me. I mean, I was constantly at the altar because I wanted to be right before God. And He's here in 2011 looking. Whose heart is fully committed to me? Not to title, not to a salary. You know, when I first came to pastor in the year 2000, I was making over $100,000. Working for the Chicago Public Schools. And when the board came to me and I got it voted in, 68 people, and the church had a budget of $89,000, my salary was around $32,000. I took a serious pay cut to become the pastor because it wasn't about money. It's about the will of God in my life. And that when He looks down on planet Earth, that He sees somebody here at CBC, at Springfield, in their room, in their dorms, crying out for their city, crying out for Springfield, crying out for the will of God to be done in their life. God is not looking for more scholars. Look at me. He's not looking for more scholars. He's not even looking for more theologians. He's not even looking for more pastors. He's looking for disciples who would be fully committed to Him and are willing to carry the cross even to death. Even to death. Matthew chapter 16 verse 24 says this, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and what? And what? Follow me." Matthew 10:38, "And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Luke 14:27, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my Talmid." You cannot be my disciple if you're not carrying your cross. Wherever you're at, whatever city. You cannot live a life of safety and also be used by God. Let me say that again. You cannot live a life of safety and also be used by God. Being an agent of global change is risky. Eternity is at stake. You cannot be, and I cannot be, an agent of change and still want to play it safe. I got to get out there in the deep. And I'm going to put my life on the line. I shared with you when I went to Haiti and we took, and the earthquake hit. We responded maybe 7 days. We took doctors and nurses from our church and we kind of coordinated a network. Boy, when we landed on that village of Haiti, hundreds and hundreds of natives came after the bus because they were hungry and thirsty. And one guy who was in our group, he said, you know, we should leave. Now, the guy wasn't from our church. I want to just say that. Because new lifers, they understand the risk. This guy was a guy we picked up in DR. And he came to me that night where hundreds of natives were surrounding the bus and they were shaking the bus. And I was inside the church with my leg lifted up high on the table, just waiting till midnight. The guy said, "Hey, Pastor Choco, we should give this to the U.S. Army. Let them do it. We should leave." And I told him, looked in his face, "I'm prepared to die. I said goodbye to my wife and my children. I didn't come for vacation." And so being a Talmid and being an ambassador of the kingdom of God is risky. And if you're going to play it safe, it's very difficult to be used by God. Are you following me? You know, in the city of Chicago, there's gangbangers. They got guns. I remember one time where, you know, they come up to you and they ask you what you represent. I represent Latin Kings. I represent Latin Disciples. And one day as I was walking down Armitage, and Rico was there, I was walking down Armitage, and there was a good 15 Latin Kings. And I was already a Christian. And they came up to me, and we met at the middle of the street, and they looked at me and said, "What do you represent?" I said, "I represent Jesus Christ." "What do you represent?" They said, "Latin Kings." I said, "Amen. God bless you." I shook everyone's hand. Now, no doubt inside, I was shaking. These guys had knives and guns. But representing the kingdom of God is risky. To stand for what you believe. Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And if you're going to become a Talmid in the 21st century, what God is looking for is not another Pastor Choco. He's not looking for another theologian or scholar. He's looking for a disciple in whom he could pour his favor upon. That's why it's going to take. That's why I had you kneel down. Because it's going to take a commitment starting today to live your life accordingly, to have your hands clean and your heart pure before God. Because the enemy knows. He knows your calling. He knows you're called. And he will do anything possible to derail you and to distract you. That's why you have to keep your perspective. Why am I here in CBC? I got to keep my perspective. I'm being shaped and molded to become a disciple for Jesus. Amen? You know, I like what Sir Francis Drake said, and I want to read this to you. You can look at it on Google. Sir Francis Drake said this: "Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. When we have arrived safely because we've sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, O Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. In our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, O Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture out on water seas where storms will show your mastery. We're losing sight of the land. We shall find the stars. We ask you to push us back the horizon of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, and love. Disturb us, O God. Disturb us." Charles Swindoll says this: "What the world needs, men and women who cannot be bought. What the world needs is men and women whose word is their bond." Are you listening to me, young people? If you don't have your word, you're in trouble. Your word is your bond. If you say to a young person that you're discipling, "I'll be there at 7, don't you get there at 7:30. Because then your word is not your bond. Young people are tired of being used and lied upon. Charles Wendell says this. He says, "What the world needs is men and women who put character above wealth, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not just their own selfish desires. What the world needs, men and women who are true to their friends through good and evil, who are not afraid to stand for the truth when it's unpopular, who will say no with emphasis, although the rest of the world says yes. Change agents, just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men and women in the Bible, like Esther. If I should die today, I should die. Who put it all on the line. Stand with me this morning for a moment. No one talking. Sir Francis Charles Swindoll really put it well. There are so many agents of change in the Bible that I've caught a thought on these last few days. But I did want to end with Jesus, who undoubtedly is the center figure on planet Earth. No doubt. The carpenter from Nazareth. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His mission was not to live, but to die. And there are many more in the last 2,000 years that you probably and I haven't even heard of agents of change. Who risked it all, gave their lives. We don't need cowards. We don't need phony Christians. What this world needs is Talmeans who are truly devoted to the cause of Jesus Christ. Not the political stuff and religion, but a whose heart is fully committed to Him. That's what I can give you these last few days. That's it. I've given you all my best. Go win your cities. Go win your towns. But you can never say, no one spoke to me. That's what He's looking for. Not another theologian, not another scholar, not another pastor, but a Talmeen. You know, when I go out for breakfast and with my family, and we pray for the food. I said, let's pray. I start praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this food. And usually when I'm done, my kids say, Pa, do you have to pray for everyone? Because everyone stopped eating. I said to my kids, I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world is looking for men and women who are sold out. Fully, not part-time Christians. Not when the music is good. Not when the worship is good. And we've been having some good worship music. But what about when there is no music in your pit? What if there is no preacher giving you a 3-point sermon while you're in your pit? Your pit is not your destiny. The palace is your destiny. It's not what you're going through, it's where you're going to that counts. Some people operate, I just need the music a little bit higher. I just need, and I'll feel it. It's not about a feeling. Some days you're not going to have a choir singing you these nice songs as pastors, talking to you as future leaders. Some days you're going to just have to lay hands on yourself and, oh God, help me. I mean, you've laid hands on so many people. Sometimes you're going to have to lay hands on yourself. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm just being transparent with you. To go into ministry, you're going to have to depend solely on the Spirit of God. Because there may not be music in your pit. As a Talmeen, maybe you're in prison. There is no music. There is no preacher. It's just you and your relationship with God that's going to count. When you leave here in 4 years or in 8 months from now or 2 years or 3 years, you're going to remember this. There's sometimes no music in a life of a telmin, just commitment. I made a vow. Even if I don't feel it. I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar. Even if God does not save us, we still won't bow down to your God. That's a tell me. He's crazy, man. That's some crazy guys. Man, I would love to hang out with those kind of guys. Not guys who, okay, we'll bow down and then we'll repent later. No. Become a tell me. Become an agent of change. And where's your world? Your family. Right now. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. You know where Jerusalem is? Your backyard. Don't try to reach the world if you can't reach your own family. Can't reach Springfield. Boy, I wish I had a couple months here and take all you all with me and go around Springfield and just turn it upside down and love on people and just stand on corners and say, hug free day. People would just trip up. Going to restaurants like I do with Master's Commission and mess up the restaurant. And we do a drama. Two of our people act up like they're fighting. And we take over a restaurant and we pause the drama and say, we just want to let you know that if you're going through this type of drama in your life, Jesus Christ can turn your world around. That's what I believe God is looking for. Maybe I'm just a crazy Puerto Rican from Chicago. Maybe because I know what I have and I know what it is to be poor and I know what it is not to have. And I've seen the hand of God in this summer of 2011. That's why I'm so fired up of what God can do in your life. He's alive.